Many of us tonight, if I said share a prayer that you've had answered sometime in the last year, your entire life, or some spectacular answer to prayer, we'd have people going hands up all over the place, and here's one story, and here's one story, and God says we have not because we what? We ask not. Okay, and there's a little bit more to it, and you know, we can't live in rebellion to God and expect God to answer our prayers. But God's concerned about every need that we have, and whether it's a donut, donuts over there in on vacation for John, he shared with us on a Sunday morning. My wife, we've shared before, we prayed for, I didn't pray for it, my wife, the kids asked for coconuts, and she said, let's pray for coconuts, we don't have money for coconuts. And Danny Sin came by, I think it was Danny Sin, and I don't think she knew my wife prayed for coconuts. How many have ever prayed for coconuts? Raise your hand. Anybody ever pray for coconuts? You have? Okay. A lot of times when you say raise your hand, people just raise their hand, you know. But that's okay. She's all right. But, and then I don't know if the same day or same night or next day, a big case of coconuts landed on our front porch. We've prayed for money before. My race car driver, Brother Cody back there, we call him Speed Racer. And he gets me, he just, and he switches lanes like that and goes ahead, and I'm, we get there in plenty of time, never late, never late. Sometimes I'm running late, but he knows how to make sure we get there in time. But his baby Priscilla is 4 months old, so 13 months ago, he said, Pastor, can you pray? We've been trying to have a baby, and so we want to have a baby, and we prayed, and his baby has arrived 13 months later. So God is a prayer-answering God. We want to, let's all stand together, and we're going to just look at a few verses tonight. I'm going to give us plenty of time tonight, I believe, for prayer. Turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We see the church here in Acts chapter 2 and verse number 41. Then they that Acts 2 verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine, okay, and in fellowship, and in breaking of bread, and in prayers. And in what class? And in fear came upon every soul, and many wonders, signs were done by the apostles, and all that believed were together and had all things common. Father, help us as we'll have a prayer meeting tonight. We'll pray together, whoever wants to stick around and pray. And Lord, help us to be a people of prayer. Help us to have marriages that pray together. We've heard families that pray together, stay together. Help us to be families that pray in our homes and pray, give thanks for our food, and then we pray at night before we go to bed, and we have family altars and pray, and we wake up and we pray, and help us to pray at work and pray throughout the day, and help us to be a praying church, Lord. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. The New Testament church was and should be a praying church, praying all the time about everything with a lot of different people. We should pray alone. We should pray with our spouse. By the way, if you pray with your spouse, you'll have a lot better marriage. Because it's hard to pray with somebody that you're fussing with. Okay? You say, well, I fuss so I don't pray. No, if you fuss, you go to pray and you might start praying and confessing your sins in front of your wife. Lord, Please forgive me for being such a mean husband. Seriously. Yeah. Lord, please help. Please forgive me for being lacking submission to my husband. Right? Okay, pray together. Pray together. We should pray alone. We should pray with our spouse. Pray with our children. Okay? And I don't get on talk about it probably as much as I should, but I want to challenge every family to have a family altar in your home. You say, what's a family altar? You get together, and you know there's no perfect order. Many people do it in a different way, but pray with your family, read your Bible with your family, take prayer requests with your family, take blessings, and just get together. By the way, that's my staff meeting. When I get together, when all my children, whoever's home, my children are getting older now. Some of them they're adults, so maybe they're not home all the time. And we pray together, and we read the Bible together, and we get on our knees in our living room, and they see Mom on her knees, and they see Dad on her knees. By the way, Mom and Dad, your children, see, for me, when I started Family Altar in my home, it was awkward. I never had a dad that prayed. I didn't have a family that prayed. So I felt a little awkward. For my children, it won't be awkward. All the years of their life, they remember Mom and Dad praying and reading the Bible and getting together and having prayer requests and sharing blessings. And by the way, if you have real small ones, it's a little tough. They get a little fidgety. By the way, I and this is off the subject, but on the subject, I sort of think it's good for children to be in church. Now, people say, well, you know, they're a little fidgety. Let them learn how to sit in church and hear the preaching of the Word of God. And I know it's okay that we have children's things, but also, and this is sort of off subject, I think it's good for them to hear their pastor to preach. And I know we a while back we brought the junior church kids in church on Sunday mornings, because just sitting with their families, but praying alone, praying with your spouse, praying with your children, and then praying with each other as brothers and sisters. Remember the first time I ever went to a prayer meeting at Gethsemane Baptist Church, over 30 years ago, and I was nervous, and I was afraid that I didn't know how to pray right in front of somebody, and we had a prayer list, and we got down, and I prayed with an elderly man, and it was just an encouragement to pray with somebody, and I wasn't trying to impress him. He wasn't trying to I didn't have anything to impress at that time, that's for sure. Jesus kicked the money changers out of the temple and said in Matthew 21:12 and 13, and Jesus went into the temple of God and cast out all them that sold and bought in the temple and overthrew the tables of the money changers and the seats of them that sold doves and said unto them, it is written, my house shall be called the house of prayer, but ye have made it a den of thieves. We should pray all the time. Colossians 1:9 says, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray. Cease to what, class? Pray for you. And they don't, so in other words, it's constant. It's a constant praying for you, and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding. So we should pray all the time. 1 Thessalonians 5:17, pray without ceasing. 2 Thessalonians 1:11, wherefore also we pray always. How often, class? Always. Pray at home. Pray at work. Pray in the morning. Pray at night. Pray walking down the sidewalk. Pray before you preach. Pray after you preach. Pray before you teach. Pray with your children. Pray with your wife. Always pray. Pray without ceasing. Wherefore also we pray always for you. Pray for others. Intercede for others. I have a prayer list. I have a pretty lengthy prayer list. Some people don't want a prayer list. That's between you and God. But you pray. By the way, if someone asks you to pray for them, don't say yes and then don't pray for them. Write it down. Put it in your little digital whatever you call it. You know, nowadays, you know, you don't have... Brother Stevenson, he has a nice new phone, and he says, I don't text. He said, I talk into my phone, and it texts. That really, I don't know if he was kidding or telling me the truth. Did they do that? Wow. Pretty soon, we won't even have to breathe. Those phones will breathe for us. We won't have to go to church. The phones will go to church for us. We won't have to work. They'll go to work for us. Oh, my soul. Wherefore also we pray always for you that our God would count you worthy of this calling and fulfill all the good pleasure of his goodness and the work of faith with power. We should pray all the time. We should pray everywhere. 1 Timothy 2:8, I will therefore that men pray everywhere. Where are we supposed to pray, class? Everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. Let's pray everywhere. Again, it's nice to have a place where in the morning you can get away, where the hustle and bustle isn't distracting you, and you can spend time reading the Bible and praying. But that's not the only time we're supposed to pray. We're supposed to pray all the time. We should pray everywhere. We should pray, and by the way, of course, we could have when we've done it before, series on prayer. This is a few thoughts in preparation for our brief prayer meeting. We should pray for laborers. Laborers. I preached about working for God this morning. Working for God. God wants us all to work for him. Mom and dad, teach your children to work, but teach your children to be workers for God. Okay? I know we got real small children. There's a lot of things we couldn't do. My youngest is 10. Every Saturday, all my adult children, my wife, my high school children, my junior high children, my elementary child, I got one elementary child. We all go either here to Faithfulness Rally or we go over there to Monterey Park. You say, why? Because we're teaching our children to be workers for God. I don't want it to be some big, wow, hard, difficult thing someday when they grow up and say, oh, wow, it's going to be hard to work for God. No, I want them to work for God now. I appreciate Brother Ryan Rawl, his boys after church services. They're getting vacuums and they're picking things up and straightening things out. They recruited my kids. I don't know if they're cleaning. They're probably playing, but they said they're working. But work for God. But we should pray for laborers. Jesus said in Matthew 9:36 and 38, but when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them. A bunch of our people, adults and all the seniors in high school are in Cambodia. There's something, when you go to Cambodia, there's something you see, multitudes. You see multitudes. 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning, people in alleys and running and working and just trying to make a buck so they can survive. Multitudes. You see all those people. And that's what Jesus said. He saw the multitudes and he was moved with compassion. My brother sent an email. He said, all these people, most of these people aren't saved, and very few of them have ever heard the gospel. That's what Jesus said. When he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then saith he unto his disciples, the harvest truly is plenteous, but the laborers are few. Pray. Can everybody say pray? Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. And those of us that are not only, but those of us that are pastors and full-time workers, and we're in a Spanish ministry over here, and we work at Monterey Park, and we're in a deaf ministry, and whatever it is, you know what we need to do? Is pray for laborers. God has so limited each man that he could only do so much. And that's just how it is. We have to go to sleep. We can only be one place at one time. So what is God's remedy? God's remedy is laborers. You say, how do you get laborers? Pray for them. Pray for them. By the way, as a bus captain, I was a bus captain in my college days, and I had all these laborers and all these laborers. Just as a young man, we were able to get so much work done for God. You say, why? We had a bunch of laborers. Pray for laborers. We should pray all the time. We should pray without ceasing. We should pray everywhere. We should pray for laborers. And then we should pray for God to increase when we sow the seeds of the gospel. 1 Corinthians 3:4-7, for while one saith, I am of Paul, in the Corinthian church, they had the schisms. Oh, I'm of this guy, and I'm of this guy, and I like this guy, and I like this guy. And for one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos. By the way, when you become a leader, don't get too possessive. Love people, but we're all a team. Okay? We're not all going to, there's no super Christians here. And as soon as you say you're a super Christian, God's going to take that S off of your stomach. We're all laborers together with God. Okay? And maybe Brother Nick could lead, help someone sing better than me. Not maybe, he can. And Brother Pineda can help them better in some area. And Brother Kyle, we're all laborers together. But this church, they had schisms, they had friction. And I don't even think it was Paul and Apollo's fault. It's the people's there. But for one saith, I'm of Paul, and another say, I am of Apollos. And he said, are you not carnal? These are carnal things. Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos? But ministers or servants by whom ye believed, even as the Lord gave to every man. Then he said, I have planted, Apollos watered, but God gave the increase. Who gave the increase, class? God. So then neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God that giveth the increase. Let's ask God to take these, and by the way, we don't only pass out tracts. This is just a time when we pass out a lot of tracts. We go out there and we should try to give the gospel to everybody. But this is a time when we have Easter service and we do pass out a lot of tracts, and we have Spanish tracts invitation for Easter. We have Spanish in Monterey Park. We have Filipino tracts, and we have Chinese tracts. The Chinese tract is twice the size. We couldn't put it all on one little card. Man, we got some really nice Chinese tracts. They're like this big. Here in Monterey Park, where we're giving out the Chinese tracts, the people were just, a lot of them, they don't speak English real well, and you try to talk to them. They're like, no English. But you show them Chinese characters. They're like, they take it. It's great. But let's water and ask God to bless every tract that we've passed out, every door that we've knocked. So when God gives the increase, we do point up to heaven and say, we know that it's a mighty God that did it. So we should pray that God would give the increase as we sow seeds of the gospel. We sow these seeds. We pass these tracts out. You knock on a door. You talk to somebody at work. And then we should pray together. Can everybody say together? Together. There's something about praying with somebody. There's something about getting on your knees and being with one of God's people and praying. Acts chapter 12 and verse number 12. And when he had considered the thing, I'll read this. I want us to have a little time to pray. I'll read it. You don't need to turn there unless you want to. Acts 12 verse 12. And when he had considered the thing, he came to the house of Mary, the mother of John, whose surname was Mark, where many were gathered together praying. What were they doing? They were praying for Peter. Peter was in jail. You say, hey, what should you do when you have a problem? And what should you do when you have some real catastrophic thing going on? Or maybe there's a health problem or whatever it is. Do what the New Testament church did. They got together in a prayer meeting, and the Bible said they gathered together praying. We should pray together. We just read in Acts chapter 2, verse 42, that New Testament church, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. Brother Kyle is over our church planning. He's starting a new Sunday school class in preparation for church planning. It'd be good for him tonight to get the little group that he's going to start with and pray with them tonight. And that's what we're going to do tonight. And we'll get the class, Sunday school classes, and we'll get together and we pray. By the way, many, we have men's prayer. And we've heard it, the least attended meeting in the world, in churches, is the prayer meeting. Unfortunately, it is in our church too. And I realize people have things going on Saturday at 5 o'clock, and I'm not belittling our people, but that's just a fact. But I'll tell you what, there have been many, many prayer requests put on that board for people to get saved, and they're saved today. And they're in this church today. Chuck Castle is one. The Becks back here. Brother Kyle used to pray for his family before they ever came to this church. But praying together. God, by the way, those of us that have children, okay? How many have children? Raise your hand. How many of your children have at least fussed with each other once? At least once. How about, let's take it one step further, and I know this is going to be a stretch. How about twice? Whoa. Three? You like three times just before church. Okay. My mom, my brother and I, now after we got saved, we were best friends. And we were best friends before we got saved. But we used to fist fight. I mean, put up your dukes. He used to beat me up because he used to be taller than me. And then one day I'm like, and he started throwing punches at me. I said, I'm throwing them back. And we'd fight. One time we got in a fist fight right in the living room. Oh, my mom's friend was there. We humiliated her, and she started whacking us with a broom. Wham! Right with a broom. And it was humiliating. And it wasn't only humiliating to her friend, it broke her heart. She wanted to see her sons fighting. I love to see my children. And my children, the little kids cut up and they get in trouble with each other. But my children are very close. Many of the families in this church, they're very close. The children are close and they love each other. They love to spend time with each other. And God loves to see his children spending time with each other, but also praying together. Now, what we're going to do is, in just a moment, ushers, if you guys get ready, we're not going to pass them out yet, but just a moment, we're going to pass out these prayer sheets. By the way, sometimes, there's people here tonight, you've never been to a prayer meeting at the church, okay? And you're like, hey, you guys tricked us. This is church tonight. We're going to pray, and that's okay. We're going to have 5 minutes if you feel uncomfortable. And some people do, and understand that. And if it's the first time you've ever prayed with other Christians, that's up to you. But I would encourage you to stick around and pray with God's people. I heard a story I heard a sermon by a pastor, and he was talking about how that he took this really small church. They had, I don't know, 40 or 50 people, I can't remember, 40, 50 people, and he began to preach the Word of God, and people began to get saved, and the church began to grow. And before he got saved, he was a rock and roller, okay? And he come to find out that he was addicted to rock music. By the way, rock music is addicting, okay? It's addicting. That's the reason why so many people have a hard time giving it up, okay? Oh, yeah, it's addicting. That's why some people won't go to churches if they don't have rock music. It's addicting. By the way, what did we do 50 years ago when we didn't have Christian rock and roll? I'll tell you what we did. We had a lot better churches, and we had a lot better Christians, too. What were we doing for 1950 years before we had Christian rock and all this worldly music in the church? People come to churches, hey, you guys don't have worship. Worship is giving God what he's worth. Okay, anyway, that's not the sermon. But anyway, I'm giving you a little introduction on this pastor. And then he began to bring in the Christian rock and roll in this church and all the contemporary music. And man, it took off. It was growing, but it grew a lot more. And make a long story short, this pastor, he said, you know what? I have a lot of people, but they're very anemic spiritually. And he said, man in his church would come up and say, you know what? During the music or worship or praise band or whatever, they said, we're having sensual thoughts. And it's causing us to have immoral thoughts. By the way, if there's ever a place where we should be pure and holy, it's in church. We should be pure and holy out there. But let's, ladies, every once in a while, I got to give you a commercial. Men are affected by sight. Okay? If I pulled up my shirt and showed you my naked muscle, you ladies, it wouldn't do anything for you. Okay? You understand that? Men are affected by sight. Ladies, do us a favor. Make it so that we look at your face and not your body. Come on, guys, help me out. Okay? I watch our ladies in our church and how they begin to get, they begin to become modest. And they don't use their body to attract men's eyes. And I'll tell my wife, I'll say, that lady's becoming more beautiful. I say, I can't tell that. Sometimes I say, Mary, can you tell that lady? Her beauty is beginning to shine because it's not her body. It's her, it's the light of her eyes. It's her countenance. And it's her inner lady of her heart. But anyway, this got a little quiet on that one. Folks, if we don't mention that every once in a while, it's going to be a mess around here. Oh, I'm afraid someone might not like it. I'm afraid that our men might lust when they come to church. That's what I'm afraid of. And I'm afraid that the God of heaven is going to look at the church and say, what are you doing, pastor? Okay, sometimes silence speaks louder than what we say. Okay? And by the way, we have the most modest ladies in the world in this church. Let's keep it that way, okay? Teach your daughters, dads, teach your daughters when they're young. When they start growing, don't let them wear last week's or last year's clothes, okay? They're too tight. They're too tight. Oh, but they're only 12. I said they're too tight. They're too tight, okay? Well, I feel like this is not going to be a very good prayer meeting tonight. You know what I'm trying to do? I'm trying to give the men courage, really, because sometimes they're afraid to say anything. And so, by the way, man, you keep your home moral, keep your home pure, and teach your daughters as they're 6 and 7, this body that God has given you is not for men to look at, except for one man, it's going to be your husband someday. And we don't wear all this tight clothing, and you say, well, that's the only thing we can find. Hire you a seamstress then and custom make them. But anyway, this pastor began to have these, and God began to convict him, and he said, you know what I need to do? This is gonna just blow up my church. But he said, I got to get this rock music out of our church. And I got to get this contemporary music out of our church. And he said, I've got to change everything. He said, literally, when the preaching came, there was such an enthusiasm, and not an entheos, but a worldly enthusiasm because of the music. When the preaching came, it was almost like, what a dud. Okay? Because the music does something to your soul. And I'm not saying spirit. Music can do something to your spirit, your soul, mind, will, and your emotions. And he said he'd come up, and the pastor said he'd almost feel like he was intruding on what was going on. And I won't give you everything he said. He said, man, I had to come to our leaders in our church and said, you know what, you guys might fire me, whatever. But he said, this is my jurisdiction. God has given me the jurisdiction of this service. And he said, I've got to take the rock music out. He said, I started it. It's my fault. And he said, so they stopped it. He said the church went from 500 to about 159, like that. But he said the spiritual life of the church got back to where it was supposed to be. But he went on to say, he said, I wanted to change the whole service to be, this is the first thing there in Acts chapter 2, first thing they did is they taught the apostles' doctrine. They taught the Bible. The Bible should be preeminent in the church, not music. Okay, and nowadays that's what it is. You have a praise and worship band. Music should not be preeminent in a church. Good for music. We use music and we have music. It's the word of God. And then he began to structure his church. And then he said, you know what we're going to do? He said, at the end of the church service, we're going to have a prayer meeting. He said, whoever wants to. And by the way, we're not going to do this every Sunday, but they did it every Sunday night. People would leave, and then there'd be groups that would pray. And he had a man in his church. And by the way, we don't believe in faith healers. We believe that God heals, okay? We believe that God still does miracles, but we don't believe in miracle workers in the year 2013, okay? If there were, I don't know. Anyway, I'm not going to go there either tonight. But, and he had a man in his church. I think I share this in faithfulness. So he had a man in his church that for 12 months, something happened to his body, and he was actually on a walker. He could not walk by himself, and the man was in the back, and he said one of the men in the church, they prayed, they had their service, and then they had their prayer meeting, and they prayed for this man. No faith healers, but they prayed for this man. This man said, can you pray for me? For 13 months I've had this the doctors were trying to find out if he has MS or what. They couldn't figure out what was wrong with him. and he could not walk on his own. He had this walker. And then at the end of the service, they prayed, and this man, he got up and he said, "You know what? I can walk. I could walk." By the way, no faith healer. Benny Hinn wasn't there. Okay, good thing he wasn't. Okay, no faith healers, but God the healer. But it was sort of ironic, because it's not like at the end of the service, no one really knew. He didn't. It's not like everybody prayed for him. He was just a part of the prayer meeting, and the pastor was off to the side, and then he started telling people. He said, "Look," he put up his walker. He said, "I can walk." He said, "I'm okay." And he went over to where the pastor was. He was going to go tell the pastor, and the pastor was looking at him. The man was coming this way, and there was a man talking to the pastor. And the man that was talking to the pastor, he wasn't necessarily complaining, but he was just sort of saying how that he just didn't feel like the prayer meeting was doing what it was supposed to do, whatever it was supposed to do. So here's the pastor. He's watching this guy, like, with his walker, saying, "Hey!" And then here's the guy saying, "You know, Pastor, I don't know if, you know, what's going on in the prayer meeting." By the way, you don't have to have a feeling for God to do what he's going to do. We're so caught up in this feely-wheely emotional, you know, "Well, I didn't feel anything." And so I say that tonight in just a few minutes. We're not going to even have an invitation, because we're going to pray. We have an invitation for salvation. But we're gonna pray together, and you can use that time as a time of invitation. So why don't we stand or why don't we do this, guys? Pass those out. We got a Tim. Are you playing the piano? Who's our piano player over here?